This is attorney Larry Rowe. Question: why would you take a local auto crash case to a huge out-of-state law firm? Be smart, stay local, and visit me at LarryLRowe.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio. From the studios of West Virginia Radio Corporation, the country, the United States of America, the state, West Virginia, the city, Charleston. This is 580 Live, and your host of 580 Live.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
He's kind of a big deal.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dave Allen.
Hey, folks, good Thursday morning to you. It's 580 Live with the voice of Charleston WCHS. Here's Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. Caitlin Murphy serving as our producer today. Coming up in the second part of the show, Republican strategist Greg Thomas is going to be here. It's always entertaining when Mr. T is in the house. And we're going to talk to him coming up in the second part of the show. Reminder for you that phone calls to 580 Live are a service of Sears Monument Company, offering quality memorials since 1911 with locations in Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, and Parkersburg. Live streaming to 580 Live brought to you by attorney Larry L. Rowe. Visit LarryLRowe.com or call 304-925-1333. And our texting service is provided by Fruit Pharmacy, your hometown family pharmacy. Again, the phone number, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text is 304-935-5008. Want to welcome in, top of the show here, the West Virginia State Agriculture Commissioner, Mr. Kent Leonhardt. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing fine, man. It sounds like you're all full of energy this morning. And I understand that you're in the Canaan Valley. Is that right?
Well, I'm not there yet. Right now, I pulled over and we're traveling with the Commissioner of Agriculture from Alabama, and we're going to visit an organic dairy farm in Greenbrier County.
Oh, okay.
But, right tomorrow, we head up to Canaan Valley for our conference.
This is the Southern Association of State Directors of Agriculture, if I understand. Is that right, sir?
That's correct. And I'm lucky enough to be the president this year, and whoever holds that office gets to host the annual meeting in their home state. So what a great opportunity for us to display what how West Virginia and agriculture is doing to my fellow commissioners and their staffs throughout the southern states.
Well, how is agriculture doing in West Virginia, sir?
Well, I think, you know, when the governor talks about the state being on a rocket ship, I think Department of Agriculture is on a rocket ship. You know, when you look at the economic development that we're bringing in to the state of West Virginia, and this conference alone for Tucker County is going to be about $500,000 worth of economic activity for an area that needs it. But when you look at the businesses that we're bringing in, we're doing really, really well. So we are creating jobs, and, you know, the Department of Ag is still operating on a budget similar to 2008. So that's pretty good government.
I would say so. Anytime that any governmental agency, and regardless of who the head of the agency is, can say that they're still operating on the same budget, basically, that they did since 2008, that's been a pretty good steward of the people's money, I would think, sir.
I think so, too, and I'm very proud of it. And we've given all our employees two raises, and they're going to get a third raise come July 1.
That's good stuff. Right, you're talking to Kent Leonhardt, who's the State Agriculture Commissioner on 580 Live. You're bringing all these people in. How many states will be represented by this conference?
Well, there's 14 states and then Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. We're going to have about everybody's going to be represented, and we're going to have our business meetings, obviously, and we're going to discuss issues at hand. But then we're also going to show how West Virginia agriculture's working with energy production and working with conservation to make all those three things blend together for the benefit of our citizens and our economy.
So when you have these folks in, and I know you, I think you said you had the Alabama Ag Commissioner with you right now, and you want to say welcome to West Virginia, what message do you want to tell these folks about the state of West Virginia?
Well, I want to say that West Virginia is a great place to come visit, number one. because we're going to show off. We've got a beautiful state, let's face it, and the people are great, and we're doing so well. We're going to not only do that, but we're going to show how you can have good health in West Virginia. You know, our agricultural work, you know, we're, like I said, we're going to visit an organic dairy farm. Environmental work that we've done, as you know, West Virginia is working with, as the only elected commissioner in the Chesapeake Bay states that is meeting the 2025 goals of the restoration of the Chesapeake Bay. We're one of six states that have a part of that watershed. So we're doing such great work. We may even take some of these folks fishing on a stream that was last year delisted as an agricultural hazard. So that's just great work from the folks at the Department of Agriculture, the West Virginia Conservation Agency, and all the, and the universities all working together to improve the environment, yet we're still moving the state forward.
Talking to, State Ag Commissioner Kent Leonhard on 580 Live about this big conference that's actually going to be starting in Canaan Valley tomorrow, I think.
We go up for the setup.
Okay, going for the setup. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we'll have some fun stuff on.
That's right.
For people to get in early on Saturday, but the official kickoff is Sunday.
Right, that's right. That's right. My error there. What else is going on in the Department of Agriculture as we head into the summer months? Busy time. Of course, you got the State Fair. That's one thing that you're known for. That'll be a little bit later on in the summer. But what else? What other activities do you have going on around the state as far as the agriculture department goes?
Well, we have the fairs and festivals, obviously, not just the state fair, but there's a lot of fairs and festivals going on. We've got great coordination with our 4-H partners in WVU Extension and West Virginia State. We've got good work going on with our FFA programs throughout the state. So, you know, we don't run those programs, but we have good partnerships with all the folks that run those programs. So, and we're also really working hard to promote youth in agriculture and our veterans in agriculture at the same time. We are trying to make sure that people understand that there is a future in agriculture and to grow that industry.
Well, you know, you do a fantastic job, not only you, sir, but also the people in your organization. I think that you're to be applauded. I think this is really a big deal, again, having all these, having all these people coming in from all these other areas that you mentioned, even territories, in addition to states coming in to West Virginia and bringing them into West Virginia, spending some money here, but more importantly, getting an education on what we do in West Virginia. It's good stuff.
It is great stuff. And I want to give a shout out, if I may, to the folks at Canaan Valley and the DNR. They've been such great partners to work with on this. The staff up there has just been awesome. I encourage anybody that hasn't had a chance to visit Blackwater Falls and Canaan Valley to go up there and visit it. And I've got to give a shout out to my staff that's been working so hard putting this together. They've really put their heart and soul into it. From my deputy on down, it's been incredible to see the teamwork, to see the cooperation and the interaction with the other state agencies, such as tourism, who has helped us with advertising to all the state departments of agriculture.
Takes a team. It sure does. Takes a village. Takes a team. Hey, Mr. Agriculture Commissioner Kent Leonhard, I appreciate you taking time to be here with us today. Best of luck with the conference.
Thanks so much for having me on, Dave. I really do appreciate it.
All right, talk to you soon, man. Thanks a lot. It is 9:16. It's the Southern Association of State Directors of Agriculture Conference, and it's actually, the setup is going to be going on, I think, over the next couple of days. The actual event is Saturday through Wednesday, and we appreciate, as always, Mr. Agriculture Commissioner Ken Leonhard for taking time to be here. Hey, it's time to ditch that old truck and trade up to a brand-new Ram from Thornhill CDJR. Make the switch for more power and towing capabilities plus technology and fuel economy. The Ram Make the Switch event happening now at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall in Logan. Visit them online, thornhillcdjr.com. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Going to take a break. When we come back, Republican strategist Greg Thomas is here. It's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses are small businesses with big impact, including Generations Physical Therapy and Snap Fitness.
You are now interacting in summer mode,
where freedom rings and adventure begins. Welcome to the Jeep Freedom Days at Thornhill Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Logan.
Hey, it's Sydney here with your new keys to adventure this summer.
We've got all new 22 Jeep models arriving daily, from your favorites like new Grand Cherokee to the exciting all new Wagoneer.
With the expanding Jeep lineup, you've got to give one of these a try. Drive. Adventure is waiting on the Thornhill Motor Mile. Shop Jeep Freedom Days at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall, Logan, next to Tractor Supply.
Or online at thornhillcdjr.com.
Let freedom ring. See Thornhill for all details.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X-Chair. Infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X-Chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X-Chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X-Chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe and affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage.
It's a cheese lover's delight at IHOP with the new extra cheesy omelets. These new omelets are loaded with up to three different types of cheese and all of your other favorite ingredients, from bacon to hash browns. Also new are IHOP Splashers. Wildberry lemonade, mango lemonade, and blue raspberry lemonade splashers are sure to brighten your day with each drink having a unique flair and fresh flavor. Head online and save 20% on your first online order with code IHOP20. Where the shortest distance between two people is a smile, IHOP.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
It is 9:19 for the Parmar Store Studio. Hey, there's not a Parmar Store near you now. There will be soon. It's 580 Live. Caitlin Murphy is serving as our producer today. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. State High School Baseball Tournament gets underway later today at Appalachia Power Park in Charleston. Of course, we've had some rain in the forecast, and it's rained off and on throughout the morning here in the Valley. Hopefully, it'll clear out today so we can see my alma mater, the Logan Wildcats, go and win another state baseball championship. So wish the best of luck to all the area teams. I got a good buddy whose son plays for Charleston Catholic, so I want to wish them and all the other area teams the best of luck as well. But I got to get a special shout out for the alma mater, for the Logan Wildcats. Republican strategist Greg Thomas joins us. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
You're not turned on there. Try that again.
Doing well, Dave. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. I had the Agriculture Commissioner Kent Leonhardt on the show on the first segment, and you got to hear some of it as you came in the studio. You're a big Kent Leonhardt fan. Talk about Mr.
Leonhardt. Yeah, I've known Kent since he was in the running for state senate, and a real good guy. He actually had a really good idea to put together a statewide equine organization. And my daughter rides and shows, and we have a horse, and it's a big deal, big part of our lives. And got involved with that, and we end up forming this West Virginia Horse Coalition, and I've got some big things kind of planned for the fall that are going to be coming up, and just like a statewide economic impact study and some other stuff and some things that I think that'll be a lot more visible project that we're going to be working on with the state DNR and some of the parks and things like that. And so I think it's a really good thing. And most people probably it's not the forefront, they're at the forefront of their minds, agricultural sort of impact that it has on the state, but it's a big one all the way around.
It's not one of the, and I think even Commissioner Leonhardt may would possibly even agree with that. It's not one of the sexier offices, so to speak.
It doesn't
get all the attention that's obviously the governor and attorney general, some of the others do. But before West Virginia was anything, before coal or whatever, it was an agriculture state, and we are still quite the agriculture state. We sometimes maybe in this area we don't really think about it that much, but you travel West Virginia as I do, and I know you travel a lot as well. You get in and you get into some of these areas and you see it's still a pretty darn big deal in West Virginia.
Yeah, no, it's a real big deal. It's a real big deal.
So I want to get right to it. The biggest story of the day, Johnny Depp won. And I guess the decision was handed down yesterday. So I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. But
yeah,
go ahead.
He did. I didn't like directly follow it. I sort of indirectly follow it because people around me were following it and, sending you the pictures and the stuff. And, obviously... jury, you know, you got a jury and they, it's the decision they made and, you know, but you hate to, you know, that those situations are tough, man.
They are. And who knows? He said, she said, and four others, he's and she said, who knows what actually went. And like, I'm like you, Greg. The extent of my following the case was hearing like the 30 seconds that was on ABC News when I'm preparing to do this show, when I'm listening throughout the day. I did not follow it. I saw the decision. It was, you know, hit my phone yesterday and yeah. I didn't really think of it. But one thing I did find very interesting and, I wanted to kind of get your take on this is, you know, and I can't speak for all, but in the world of social media, be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, people, I saw an awful lot of women that were very happy about the decision. And I'm sure half, you know, it's just like any other court decision, as you well know, some are going to be happy and some aren't. But I found it very interesting, and I'm going to get in trouble by saying this, and I'm not speaking for all women by any stretch of the imagination or about all women, but that there were so many women that just naturally rushed to say, you know, he's right and all that. And he may have very well been. I don't know. I didn't follow the case. But you know, a year or two ago, it was always believe the woman no matter what. Some women said it, not all women, but I mean, and so what happened there?
I think she was just very unlikable and appeared to be very dishonest, right? I mean, it's almost I say this all the time with politics and business and other things, but like you have to police yourself, right? And I think that, you know, if you don't do a good job of saying, hey, we all need to stay in line and we need to make sure we're doing the right thing, and somebody gets out of line that's in your group, right? And they get out of line, that sort of hurts your group. And so I think if you're, you know, a woman that, you know, looks at it and says, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't falsely accuse people of stuff, because then if somebody does something to me and I come out and say it, then it means less. And so I think
like that's, crying wolf kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, exactly like that. And I think that's what that is. I think that she was just not likable. You know, the way that, you know, I don't in legal strategy and all that, I don't have any idea, but like, you know, she just wasn't likable, man. You know, I see this in politics. You know, there's a lot.
I was going to say there's a correlation, man.
Yeah, there is. There, you'll see. A woman will traditionally get a lot of votes from certain kind of women, but then there'll be some women. Some of the more conservative women might look at somebody, and I've seen this before. You get a woman who's got a business and has kids and she's running for office. Some of the more conservative women may look at that and say, well, she's spread herself too thin. She's doing too much, you know? And I've seen that. We've seen that in, you know, we used to do this thing when in polls, you would poll and you would record their answer to certain questions and you called them verbatims. And I had a female candidate one time and we recorded the verbatims and that was what we were getting. There was just this certain section of women. I'd be honest with you, a lot of them are the older conservative Democrats when we still had conservative Democrats before they all switched parties.
It was a thing.
It was a thing for like 40 years. But we used to see that all the time. We used to see it all the time. And now you see it in Republican primaries though, some too. You know, it's that same generation of folks, right, that look at it and say, well, you know, you can only do so much.
Yeah. Yeah, talking with Greg Thomas. One final thing about that, about the Johnny Depp thing. I was talking to an attorney friend of mine this morning who was, and I don't even know the amount, but he was talking about the money that was awarded, and he was telling me that it's going all over social media that because of tort reform, that he won't be getting all of the money.
Yeah, I think there was like a cap on punitive damages or something.
And I bring that up to you because tort reform is your middle name, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I've been very active with West Virginia Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse for a long time. I do think that a portion of that verdict was in punitive damages, and I think Virginia has a cap on those. So I think instead of getting the $13 million, he gets $10,350,000 or something. It's negligible to him, I'm sure. But I do believe that will play that plays a role in, you know, what final check is cut or whatever.
Let's get into some more important stuff. Now, the governor, Greg, has confirmed that he does have Lyme disease. Story written at WVMetroNews.com. I was actually at an event last night where the governor spoke. So he talked about it last night in the event that I was at. So we certainly wish him well in his recovery. I want to ask you, though, about the governor, and then we'll get on to some more some other issues. Constitutionally, Governor Justice Gorsuch can't run in 2024. Mm-hmm. What do you think that his legacy will be? Now, of course, we still have a couple of years left in his administration. You know, marked by the big story, I guess, the switch in parties. Mm-hmm. He did guide us through COVID. Not really a lot of quote-unquote scandals during his administration. Yeah. There were always some controversies about his business practices, which is going to happen. You know, there was the whole thing about him not living in Charleston, the whole Amy baby thing. But what do you think – and again, a couple years left, so it's maybe a little unfair. Mm-hmm. What do you think his legacy will be in West Virginia once he leaves office?
I think it's going to be positive. I mean, I think there's – you know, anybody can look at this and nitpick certain things. I mean, heck, I've talked about that on your show here before, you know, when he was still a Democrat, before he switched, and even after he switched there for a little bit, he wasn't with the Republicans on education reform and some other big issues, which he eventually turned around and came to. So to be on our side and to help, you know, lead a lot of those big changes that have been made that I think are going to result in you know, a better educational system up throughout the entire state. But I think it'll be good. I mean, look, I think, you know, and he's probably done a little bit for everybody. I mean, that's, you know, he's a people pleaser kind of guy, yeah. Right? And mm-hmm. So I think he's looked at it. You know, he's not a down the line, you know, conservative person like I am, right? It's like almost every, you know, not every issue, but almost every single issue, like I'm coming at it from the same perspective. You know, he's done a lot to do, you know, pay raises to public employees. You know, he's done, you know, but at the same time, because the economy is getting better, because a lot of these policies that have been enacted, you know, he's been able to keep a flatline budget. So you haven't had a lot of wasteful spending. But at the same time, he hasn't gone in and, you know, really cleaned up the bureaucratic mess that's, you know, that's still here. You know, and that maybe that's something he's going to address here over the next couple of years, which I think they are getting to, right, with this new consultancy that's going to review DHHR. But look, I think overall, you know, you've had some hiccups here and there. You know, you've certainly got some every single group probably has something they could nitpick on. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be pretty positive.
Talking with the Republican strategist Greg Thomas. The big news story nationally, and it happened while I was on vacation last week, was the tragic shooting in Texas. And mm-hmm. everybody's weighed in on it. I've discussed it even a couple of days on my show. I did want to get your perspective on the gun aspect of it. I mean, we all know that it's a tragedy, and children mm-hmm. lost their lives, and adults as well, and certainly that goes without saying. But where are you, Greg, on gun reform in America?
Look, I think personally, I am, I own firearms. I don't, you know, I hunt a little bit, like with my brother when I go back to hang out at my parents' farm. And, you know, my son, you know, he's 7 and he's had a gun for a couple of years, and we go out to the range and shoot. You know, I think at the end of the, I mean, I certainly support the Second Amendment. I think it's an important thing. To get down in the weeds of the red flag laws and, you know, and all those kind of things and the lists and, you know, background checks. I don't know that. Yeah, I've never worked on that issue to be really down in the weeds on it. So I don't know sort of what ground there is to meet in the middle on. What I do think is that most of the people pushing gun control aren't looking for that middle ground anyway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would agree.
I think that's the, you know, I think there are some people that legitimately are, you know, probably some people on my side that are like me, that are like, hey, I need to know more about it before I would figure out where we would go. I think there's, you know, I think Joe Manchin genuinely is, you know, has some issues and thinks about this and probably can give up a little ground on it. But I think the majority of people that are pushing this and, you know, sort of, you know, never let a crisis go to waste type thing. They just want to take your guns. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's probably why you don't make up any ground on this issue is, you know, you've got one side that's just like, nope, you know, we're not gonna compromise on anything, mm-hmm. you know, because the other side isn't looking for a compromise. They're just, you know, their thing is, you know, they want only the government to have guns.
Well, and I think that's where
those people are, and it doesn't take very long in having a discussion with them before you figure out that is where they are, right?
I think sometimes too, I think we live in two or three or more different Americas too. I mean, you grew up as I did in West Virginia, and I don't come from a large family of hunters, but I will say that guns are part of life, and unfortunately, though. In areas where they have tried to make guns not a part of life, they seem to be more a part of life, if that makes any sense. You know, read Chicago,
yeah,
you know, for example, in some of these areas.
A good friend of mine that lives in Chicago, really great neighborhood. They lived close to downtown, and they literally just this, like, they're moving, like, next week, like, you know, 20, 30 minutes outside the city because – just where they were was just not safe enough for a family. And I think that's what I'm saying. It's like, you got the people that run Chicago that are telling us, you guys can't have guns. You're like, well, but you guys already said you can't have guns, and there's guns all over the place,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I do think, and I don't know, look, I think the other thing too, you know, people talking about, you know, obviously the mental health stuff and just really the role of fathers and families and all of that, that is important. You know, that is important. And I think for decades now, we've watched this deterioration of the nuclear family and of faith in public life and everything else. And then you end up with some of these problems. And I think but that's the gut check, right? I mean, you got some people that's like, oh, everything's going great. We just need, everything's going great, and if we would take your guns, none of this would happen. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing to say.
I would agree.
But I think on our side too, I don't think you can just say like, well, let's snap our fingers and, you know, make sure that every household has a strong male presence. Mm-hmm. Like, guess what, man? We've been going down this road for 50 years. That you can't snap your fingers and do that either.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And just about every one of these killers in these situations, they have a profile, and it's usually somebody who was kind of a loner,
yeah.
Somebody who had less than a stellar family background. And look, I come from a broken home too.
Yeah.
Family is not necessarily mom, dad, two kids. I mean, there could be, it's just somebody that's going to kick your rear end if you don't do right at home, whether it's a mom or grandmother, or foster parent, or whatever
there's
it is.
Somebody somewhere has to institute some discipline.
And you gotta know what your kids are doing too.
Allegedly people had reported this guy as somebody that may do this, and nothing happened.
You're right.
That to me is the most outrageous thing. I mean, mm-hmm. you sit here and you think, you know, we have.
He said online he was going to shoot up a school. He literally said that.
I feel like I think I've been temporarily banned from Twitter or Facebook or something one time for some of something outrageous that I said. But if you can do that to me, right? How isn't saying I'm going to go shoot up a school?
You weren't threatening violence.
I wasn't threatening violence. I was probably, you know, just telling the truth like I want to do. you know, it was a truth that somebody didn't want to, you know, hear. But I think if you say something like that, and I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, I think that something has to be done in general about our youth, right? Like, you know, we're having this big education debate in West Virginia, and, you know, you see all these government school union hack teachers that come on, they get on Twitter and go back and forth with me about how we're taking money out of the public schools and blah, 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 blah. But there's a lot of people that were doing that anyway. I mean, the school choice thing is a national thing, right? A lot of this was exacerbated by COVID, and all of a sudden your kids were home and you were seeing that they really weren't learning anything, right? And it scared a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really did. I mean, I know a lot of people personally that were like, oh, my school's fine, that all of a sudden were like, hey, could we get in to see your school? And, you know, do you know anybody that, you know, what's the process? You know, and that happened a lot. It continues to happen. It's going to continue to happen. But we can't just say, oh, well, you know what? We're going to have great public, you know, we're going to have charter schools, and we're going to have Catholic schools and Christian schools and other private independent schools. And if you end up in the public school, hope you're in a good school district, cross our fingers. I mean, that's not it. I mean, the Republicans now really do have to take a look at how we change and improve those schools. I mean, I think providing that choice for other people serves an immediate need and also provides a level of competition that will that should be causing, you know, the good public school teachers, of which there are, which they are plentiful, for them to go back and say to everybody else, hey, we got to get our act together. How do we improve this? And so I think there's an educational element. I think there's a family element. You know, I think it's worthy having to have a gun debate, as long as you're not coming from it from a, I'm just going to come to, you know what I mean? Like, and you know who those people are right away. You know who they are right away. It's like, they don't know anything about, like you said, they don't know anything about guns. They just know you shouldn't, all they know is you shouldn't have one because they
You shouldn't have a certain type of gun, yeah. Which I'm sorry, yeah. As long as they're legal. Now, if you want to make them illegal, fine, go down that road. But they are legal.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they are legal. And this, I have a real issue with the people that say, well, nobody has a right to have a certain type of gun. Nobody needs that type. Well, the type of gun that we're talking about is legal, and I have friends that have those guns that have yet to harm a single person and won't.
I have an AR-15. Like, I do. Like, you know, and I'm not like a gun nut, right? Like, I just, like, it's something that if you have several guns, that ends up being something that you have, and... You know, but it isn't. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you. But look, the reality is we're not going to have that much of a debate on that issue here in West Virginia because, you know, we're one of the, you know, states that prioritizes gun freedom. But we're also a state that focuses on handgun, you know, or just overall gun safety.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we teach kids. Well, used to teach kids about it in school.
It was taught in school.
They don't do it anymore. You know, maybe that is something.
But I'm from the generation, and being from a rural area, that we brought guns to school,
yeah.
and would check them in with the teachers or whatever, or mm-hmm. leave them in their vehicle because they were going to go squirrel hunting. You know, after
we
school.
Did. I went to Hampton Sydney College in Virginia, and we had you went over to the police station, and they had a gun locker thing, and you know guys that were going to go hunting on a trip or done whatever, you came to the school, you had your gun, you took it to the gun locker, you locked it up. I mean, it's something that people still do.
One final thought on that before we go to break, and then I got some text to get to. I want to get to your op-ed that you did in the local newspaper last week. This debate about guns on college campuses, I'm thinking, do you think that they're not there now? I mean, are you serious right now? I mean, I don't know what the statistics are in West Virginia, but I'm going to guess probably one out of every four or five people is carrying right now. So if you think guns aren't on the campus of WVU and Marshall, you're greatly mistaken, because they're already there. You just don't know it because not everybody walks around with it on the outside of their belt.
No, I'm sure there's a lot of guns in cars, guns in, you know.
And they don't harm a single person.
Nope.
No, they do not. All right. We're going to take a break. This portion of 580 Live and several portions brought to you by the folks at Husson's Pizza. The June special of the month at Husson's Pizza is the large pepperoni pizza with cheese sticks for only $19.99. To order online for takeout or delivery, or to find your nearest Husson's Pizza location, go to hussonspizza.com. Lots of text to get to, and Mr. Thomas's op-ed in the Gazette Mail. Coming up next from the Parmar Store Studio, 580 Live, brought to you by the Thornhill Auto Group on the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses bring first-class businesses to your community.
Activating summer mode.
It's time to ditch that old truck and trade up to a brand new Ram truck from Thornhill CDJR. The Ram Make the Switch event is on now, and Thornhill CDJR is here to get you summer ready for whatever fun activity you've got to haul. Make the switch for more power and towing capabilities, technology and fuel economy. Plus, Thornhill has the monster thrills you're looking for with loaded custom lift options. It's Sydney here on the Thornhill Motor Mile, inviting you to our Ram Make the Switch event happening at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall, Logan, next to Tractor Supply, or online at thornhillcdjr.com.
Come see the wonder of the reimagined Kanawha County Public Library. Yes, there are books, rows and rows of them, and lots of seating areas for reading or remote work. But there's so much more. Now you can use your library card to take home gardening or construction tools. And in the new Idea Labs, the possibilities are unlimited. Your new Kanawha County Public Library. Please visit us at our reimagined Capitol Street location. Come check us out.
At least we didn't go over $100.
No, honey, the gas pump shuts off at 100.
I read that diesel's even worse. It's out of control.
Tell me about it. I bought groceries yesterday. I guess we won't be replacing the roof this year.
But Joe Biden and the Democrats are still calling for tax hikes, with the worst inflation in 40 years and the highest gas prices ever. They have no other answers. Americans aren't stupid. They know tax increases on energy are passed on to them, and the economy is getting worse. Democrat taxes will add diesel fuel to the runaway inflation fire. Their taxes on American companies will make it tougher to compete against adversaries like China. Remind Joe Manchin any tax hikes would be a disaster for America. Visit hightaxjoe.com. Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's West Side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
17 minutes away from 10. As you just heard, if you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, check out RX Bytel on Charleston's West Side. Ask them about their RX Bypacks. Those are pre-filled pouch systems which divide your prescription doses perfectly as prescribed by your doctor. RX Bytel on the West Side, they are your neighborhood pharmacy. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. Texts are backing up here. Greg, I got to get to them before we get to your op-ed. Texas Dave, what do you have? This was actually sent in before the show. What do you have the elitist private college Republican Greg Thomas on the show to whine about today? After out-of-state Andrea's fiasco, what, or who rather, takes his strategy seriously? Out-of-state Andrea.
I guess I've won more campaigns than any other Republican strategist ever in West Virginia. We won 11 of 12 primaries, and the only one I lost is the one where the liberal activist judge took our qualified candidate off the ballot.
Which would lead us to the op-ed. You wrote an op-ed last
week.
Well,
the op-ed was about their coverage of that whole situation too, right? And, you know, the Gazette obviously for generations was terrible, was one of the worst things for the state and the local economy. To just, you know, they really played a role in running the manufacturing business, the majority of it out of the Kanawha Valley, ran other big, you know, always dumping on the energy companies, you know, really created an anti-business, helped with creating the anti-business environment. They have new ownership now that certainly still leans left, but they have been allowing some conservative voices and more moderate voices on their editorial page, not their editorials, because they're still, you know, poorly written and you know, not very well thought through. But they are allowing some of it on there. And I gave the example of there was a really good op-ed that was questioning. You talked earlier about Governor Justice's legacy. They were questioning Robert C. Byrd's legacy, which I think is a valid discussion and one that we really need to have because, I mean, you know, that Byrd mentality of the government will do this for you. Don't worry about it. You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. We'll just, you know, I'm going to take federal money and just give it to you. You know, made us a state that was very dependent. You know, we had, you know, essentially drove us to 50th in about everything. So they had an op-ed questioning and that, and of course, you know, somebody else came in and had an op-ed, you know, saying he was the best thing in the world. And, you know, and then they had an op-ed that, you know, or actually it was one of their editors who wrote a column that, you know, questioned the integrity of how we went about, you know, candidate recruitment and the race and what we were thinking. And just, you know, several of the things were actually just false, and a lot of them were just false assumptions. And so they allowed me to, you know, to have some space to communicate a message back. And the message was, you know, hey, you're getting better, but you guys are still dropping the ball on a lot of stuff. And I think they dropped the ball on the coverage of that. I think that they immediately went to making it personal. They made it winking to, you know, hey, we're going to try to get some cheap shots in on somebody that just won 11 of 12, you know, primary races and has won more, you know, been involved with more Republican wins than anybody here. And
it was almost to me like you were a bigger part of the story than what Ms. Kiesling was.
That's what they want, though, right? The reason that they bashed her is because they know she's going to come back and win something big, right? Like, this isn't about Greg. You know, they want to make it about Greg Thomas because they don't want to make it about the fact that by the way, she still won. More votes. We went back and counted. There were more people that had voted for her that mm-hmm. they just didn't count them because they counted them as undervotes. There were 2,500 undervotes, and the official winner had 2,400 votes.
So, but now how do you know that those? And I understand the whole concept.
I mean, you'll always have a little bit of undervote.
Yeah, I mean, people don't know who's running. Yeah,
but there were more undervotes. Usually, like 2%.
Okay.
Undervote in this one was the majority of the, or was the, you know, major, like there were more undervotes than there were for any candidate, That means she won.
Okay. I mean, and you study this stuff. So,
yeah, no, she won the campaign. And, you know, and you get all these people that are like, admit that she. And I still don't. It is a gray area. You know, there are a ton of things in our code that need to be updated, that need to be clarified, that need to be modernized for how people live in the modern world. Like, I get that if you've lived in, you know, this one loser texts or tweets at me and stuff, some guy who... I guess he's like the mayor of, I don't know, one of his little hick towns somewhere.
Easy down in hick town.
But whatever it is, I mean, like these people come at you and it's like, well, you know, but they don't know the laws. They don't know what it says. They don't know anything. You know, they don't know anything about this stuff. They have no idea, you know, how you're supposed to deal with a candidate that lived in, how do we deal with somebody that lived in multiple states? You know, I have a good friend right now that's dealing with a tax issue with the tax department. And actually, they reached out to me to find out what some of these residency things and stuff were about what we were talking about. And essentially, it's not clear at that level either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this isn't something. I mean, we're sitting here, you know, everybody's trying to say, well, you did this bad and you're a bad person and you did this. It's not clear. This stuff isn't clear. We just, and guess what? Let's go in and fix it. Like, that's what you do. It'd be one thing if we were just like, we're going to, you know, talk about this for the next 6 months and campaign on it, and this is a travesty. Hey, this is a gray area. It's still a gray area. Let's not make it a gray area. And let's go and clear it, which is what we've said, which is what we said in the op-ed that we would do, which is what we are going to do. The other thing that's going to happen is we're going to make sure that you can't go and have judges intervene in an election after voting has started. That's another thing that, guess what, most other states do, but we do allow this. And sometimes, and it's happened every election. Every election it happens in Kanawha County. You're telling me that every election of the last like four times, one of the elections in Kanawha County has been intervened in. You're saying that so every single time there's a reason to stop an election?
So what would you do? I'm not you personally, but mm-hmm. what would the legislature? How can they fix
you,
this?
You've
got a Republican super. You can pretty much do whatever you want.
They are going to do it. I mean, they've already talked about what they're going to do. No, here's how you go about fixing stuff. For those of you that don't know how to fix stuff, you find somebody that's doing it right, and you go and you say, "Hey, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're doing it that way. That seems like a good way to do it." You know what we're going to do? We're going to come back here and we're going to pass a bill that identifies that and fixes the problem. And the problem here that needs fixed is, you know, on the front end of clarifying exactly what determines a residency. Is it tax returns? Is it your driver's license? Is it where you voted? Is it how many days did you live there? You know, but apparently it's not how many days that you live there. because she lived here the majority of days of all those years, which nobody ever talks about, right? And with the federal government, when you go to pay your taxes, they say wherever you've spent the majority of your time is where you pay your state taxes. That's what they say. So why shouldn't we think that that's where you should, where the state would identify a resident as being? But, you know, and by the way, the Supreme Court didn't say that she wasn't a resident. The legal strategy there, because of the timing of it, because it was days before an election, was just to get him to get a stay on the lower court judge's opinion, which they didn't. So they didn't. Her case wasn't heard at any appellate level. Right. And she's not going to challenge it. So, I mean, you know, so for everybody that's like, oh, no, you guys were wrong and you need to be punished. That's outrageous. That's an outrageous partisan thing to say. The same kind of person that's coming to us now and wants to have a debate on guns, which they don't want to have. They want to take your guns, is saying that we should have a real debate on this. They don't want a debate on this. They just want to be like, oh, that's the, you know, you got one wrong.
Okay. Whatever. All right. Well, we'll follow up on this after the break. Plenty more text to get to as well. We're back after this. It's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses.
Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses want to thank you for shopping locally.
You are now interacting in summer mode.
Where freedom rings and adventure begins. Welcome to the Jeep Freedom Days at Thornhill Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Logan.
Hey, it's Sydney here with your new keys to adventure this summer.
We've got all new 22 Jeep models arriving daily. From your favorites like new Grand Cherokee to the exciting all new Wagoneer.
With the expanding Jeep lineup, you've got to give one of these a drive.
Adventure is waiting on the Thornhill Motor Mile. Shop Jeep Freedom Days at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall, Logan, next to Tractor Supply.
Or online at thornhillcdjr.com.
Let freedom ring. See Thornhill for all details.
Poca Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Poca Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of our 7 convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Poca, Winfield, Clendenin, Spencer, or Walton, and let us become your community bank. Visit us online at PocaValleyBank.com to learn more about our personal and business services. Poca Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Alex Mahaffey, and I'm the Executive Director of Fun for the Arts here in Charleston. Join me on June 25th as we celebrate the return of the Wine and Jazz Music Festival. You won't want to miss the very best wineries and food vendors that West Virginia has to offer. There's fun for the whole family, and early bird tickets are on sale now for $30. Check us out on Facebook for full event details. We hope to see you there. If you'd like more information about where to purchase tickets, please visit us online at www.funfortheartswv.org.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's West Side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
5 minutes away from 10, the Charleston Dirty Birds are your professional baseball team and your destination for affordable family fun all summer long. For more, you can go to their website, dirtybirdsbaseball.com. Greg Thomas is here, Texas. Come on, Greg. Either Andrea was a legal resident of West Virginia and she committed voter fraud when she voted in North Carolina 2020, or she wasn't a resident of West Virginia in 2020 and not eligible to run for office here in 2022. Which is it?
It's not that. That's the problem with that, is she spent 350 days of that year in West Virginia. Like, I that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to go out and define what it is. Like, if there wasn't a thing on the sheet of paper that said, have you voted somewhere else other than West Virginia in the last 5 years? It didn't say that. It doesn't say that. Does it say, did you file your taxes here every time over the last 5 years? Doesn't say that. I think the problem here is that this is a... It's difficult for, I mean, like, there aren't a lot of people that have multiple residences and move around and go different places and do whatever. But if you are the kind of person that does that, and I've done that, I've lived in other states and I've come back and I've gone there and I lived in DC and I moved back and you change your, guess what? If you know you're moving every 6 months, you're not changing your driver's license and going and down and sitting in a DMV for 6 hours every time. It's not practical. It's not practical, and things need to be adjusted to be modernized at this level to figure out these issues. And that's what we need to go do. I mean, here we are needing to bring people back, needing population, needing job creators and people and things like that. And the reality is the Democrats that had control for 84 years, all they wanted to prevent competition. They didn't want people coming here. They didn't want people that were not going to be in the union to stay here. They chased everybody out. The reason we're in 50th is because they wanted to be in 50th. They wanted to have control of a very small pie rather than be not have control and be a smaller part of a bigger pie. And that's why we're last. And those are the things that we're fixing in Charleston to help, you know, so that our state can it is turned in a new direction. And a lot of these people that belong to the failed political party are holding on to these, you know, ideals of yesteryear that had left us in last place to begin with.
Jack says, please stop letting Greg get away with saying he won 10 out of 11 state Senate primaries. And at least some of the races, they endorsed both candidates in the primaries, so they literally could not lose. Did you stack the deck, Greg?
No. I mean, it's just that the leadership, and this isn't just Greg won, leadership went and endorsed people, and we help leadership in these races. So, I mean, I guess if, you know, I'm sure this is some, you know, disaffected person that didn't get a job on a campaign or something. I don't know. Like,
I have no way of knowing. It's anonymous.
You know what? Doesn't matter.
I do find it very interesting, though, and going back to the Gazette Mail for a moment, that in Mr. Kabler's column, that in the, you know, you always look on Sunday, if you, and I'm still the old school guy that actually reads a hard copy of the newspaper. I'm the one guy left. But if you go and you look for the names that are in bold, it seemed like Greg Thomas's name and maybe Eric Tarr or maybe Mr. Blair were in there. We're in there a lot more than Andrea Kiesling were. I think it was like 2-1 Greg Thomas as opposed to the actual opponent. So there's an agenda there.
They
hate you because they ain't you.
I think there's a little bit of that, and I think that they don't understand. Look, we won, man. I mean, that's the bottom line, is we won. Not only did we win, we now have vast supermajorities, and so the things that we have been talking about since I moved back to West Virginia in 2002 – the things that we have been talking about, we're getting to actually see put in place at a statewide policy level. We're seeing the bureaucracy, you know, get reviewed and changes made there. And guess what? Here we are in the capital city where the people that had that establishment, you know, were the establishment, are most affected by it.
All right, Greg, it's always interesting having you on, man. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate the opportunity, Dave.
Do the show each Monday through Friday for the Parmar Store Studio. There's not a Parmar store near you now. There will be soon. 580 Live brought to you by the Thornhill Auto Group, including Thornhill CDJR. Visit them online, thornhillcdjr.com. Did not get to all the texts today. I apologize. I never do when Greg Thomas is on the air, though. I just never do. I'll hold him for a future file like Weekly does in the afternoon. Coming up tomorrow, we have our Taylor Books Adopt Me Please Pet of the Week with the Kanawha Charleston Humane Association, plus Jim Strong. To talk about Live on the Levee and whatever else fun things we can get into on Friday. Hobby of the News coming up. Follow the news of the day, WVMetroNews.com and WCHSNetwork.com. Best of luck to my alma mater, the Logan Wildcats, in the state baseball tournaments. Caitlin Murphy, our producer. Thank you, Caitlin. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, have fun. Love somebody.
WCHSAM 96.5 FM Charleston and 104.5 Cross Lanes, a WVRC media station. We're proud to live here too.